And now, 88.9 WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert, a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, and join the conversation.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, the cradle half of the show.
And I'm Mark Bartholomew, your convert.
Hey, Mark, back on October 4th,
There
was the life chain.
Yep, I knew where you were going with this.
2015, down on El Dorado Street from about Franklin to MLK.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were also some folks down in front of the library stretching along Franklin Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a microphone out to do a little man on the street interviews of the folks that were there that day. A lot of young people. I was so impressed to see teenagers and young 20-somethings out on the street for the pro-life cause. And as I went up and down and spoke to these people, it was just amazing the enthusiasm they had. Now, the life chain is people line the streets and pray silently if they want to and wave at the people.
Right.
And one thing I noticed this year was as the cars went by, a lot of waving, a lot of honking, a lot of smiling, where in the past there was a lot of criticism, a lot of swearing at the people on the line.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, yeah. The people were angry to see us out there.
Wow.
But I think maybe with what's gone on with the Planned Parenthood scandal
mm-hmm.
over the summer, people have opened their eyes a little more
possibility.
To see what's going on out there. And it was a very positive event. And I counted about 240 people. I didn't get down and count in front of the library, so I'm guessing there were almost 300 people.
I bet there were.
And, you know, that's pretty good. Now, we could double that number next year. That'd be even better. But I saw clergymen from our churches, from the Catholic churches.
Uh-huh.
I saw Protestant ministers out there. I saw Millikan students. I saw kids from the grade schools and high schools.
Wow.
I talked to a couple children that were adopted, that the option to adopt was used.
Wow.
It's pretty powerful stuff. So what I'm going to do here in just a second is I'm going to play the clips from the interviews I did up there, and then after we listen to those, we'll have a comment or two, okay?
Well, I got a question.
Oh, okay.
Did anybody say, no, I don't want to comment?
You know, there was a couple people that were a little shy.
Uh-huh.
You know, they didn't know what to say exactly. But most people were willing to step up to the microphone, and most people had heard of 88.9 WDCR, Decatur Catholic Radio, and believe it or not, most of them knew about the show. They
knew
The Cradle and the Convert. When I told them they were going to be on the show, they were excited because they had heard of the Cradle and the Convert, wanted to know when the show would be on so
That's
they
awesome.
Could hear themselves on the radio. So,
did you tell them someday?
Yeah, I told them it'll be on someday.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so I'm going to cut to this the interviews here, and then we'll talk about what the folks had to say after, okay?
Yeah, let's hear them.
What brings you guys out today?
Well, everybody's always talking about the woman's choice. Well, about the baby's choice. You know, I'm here to support the baby and their choice. They have a right to live, just like the rest of us.
And you?
I pretty much agree with that. But I feel the same way.
How come you guys are out here today? You're all young girls. The pro-life movement is turning into young people. We're thrilled.
Yeah, it's a good cause, and we're happy to see a lot of younger people out here.
And why am I out here?
Why?
I'm here because adoption is a loving option.
Now, I see a Holy Family shirt. Are you guys from Holy Family?
Yeah.
You know, I was reading today. Did you listen to the gospel about guardian angels this week, that we each have a guardian angel? When we try to decide at what point life begins, what point do you think God assigns us a guardian angel?
I think from, like, even when we're in the womb or whatever, like, we're starting there. That's when our guardian angel starts.
You're up here today?
Because my parents adopted me from Russia, and they gave me a better life to be in America so that I could go to school in a Catholic school instead of in Russia on the streets scavenging for food.
Now, were you adopted as a baby?
Yes.
So your first earliest memories of being here?
I can't remember that much, but I can still remember being here.
So clearly for you, adoption is the option.
Yeah.
All right, great. Thanks for joining us. You know, I'm interested in why young people are out here standing on El Dorado Street in this chain for life.
I'm here because I believe that little babies, like, you have to, as a teenager, I know that I have friends and stuff, and they think that you have a choice to be able to change the consequences of your actions. And I believe that if you can't live with your consequences, then you just shouldn't do it at all. So I think that that is also murder, even if it's like not born yet.
Now, this week we were talking at church about guardian angels, and every one of us has a guardian angel. When do you think God assigns us that guardian angel?
From the moment you're made.
Beautiful. And what church are you from, Pastor?
Salem Baptist Church.
Salem Baptist. And why are you out here today on East El Dorado Street in downtown Decatur?
We're here to be a voice for those who don't have a voice. We're here because we believe that life starts in the womb, and God loves those children, and we love them too.
What can we do as just a small group of people out here today? Well, not small. I would guess there's 200 or 300 people. What should we do to get our voices heard and to make a change in the laws?
Well, we've got to vote. We ought to write letters to our governor and our congressmen and women. We ought to be a part of these kind of rallies and events like this here. We ought to pray, no doubt.
No doubt.
Pray, pray, pray.
Well, you know, this is kind of a grassroots movement. And when you look back at Jesus and his 12 apostles and a handful of disciples, kind of a grassroots movement, they did okay, didn't they?
Sure they did. They changed right. The world, didn't they?
They did. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm standing here beside the Civic Center with a couple young gentlemen that would like to tell us why they're here today.
Well, I came to support all life, and I think that all life is valuable, no matter if it's poor, young, old, and not even born yet. So I think that somebody needs to be the voice for those who can't speak.
And you, sir?
Pretty much the same as him. Not much else to add.
There's a great crowd. We're hitting a lot of horn honking and a lot of people. I'd say there's probably 300 people down here today.
We've done this since our children were about 3 to 4 years old. And they are truly a gift from God. And our parish priest, Father Joe, asked us to take an hour to do this. So we just continue to do it.
Good. And I see Father Joe down about a block or two waving to the crowd and holding his signs up, too. Would you like to say anything?
Yeah, they're great leaders for us, our pastors, and we just think this is good for our country to be pro-life. The whole life doctrine is so important for our country. I think women and the fathers are they carry around a lot of pain and guilt, and it's a silent suffering, and it's really eating the soul out of this country. It really hurts the country. So
I would guess there's probably 250 people up here in the Chain of Life today. It's really a great number and the biggest turnout we've seen in history of this event. So thanks for joining us.
Great.
And I'm here on the corner of Franklin and El Dorado Street with a young lady who would also like to tell us why she's here today.
I'm here today, as you'll see with some of the signs, abortion hurts women. I'm one of those women that was a victim of Planned Parenthood and the hurt that it caused. Later in life, I realized what exactly had happened, and I'm here just to help other women, maybe that might be driving by, maybe contemplating abortion at this time, to please keep in mind that adoption is an option. And it's a wonderful option. And there's so many people that can't have children, and they would love to raise a baby and not see one harmed. And I've seen several women come through, and they had the look of hurt on their face and had to look away from the sign. And I realized that pain, and I want to make it aware that there's places like in the churches that can help. There's New Life Pregnancy that has a program to help women with post-traumatic abortion syndrome. Thank you.
I'm here for children. For children's lives.
For children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Pro-life.
Pro-life. So that they're going to go to adoption centers.
Now, let me ask you a question. Yesterday at Mass, Father talked about guardian angels. When do you think God assigns us a guardian angel?
Probably the minute that we're consumed in the womb.
There you go.
The minute that we start in the womb, because they're there to protect you and probably to help the other guardian angel with the mom, maybe.
Hey, I'm here with a group of Millikan students as a train roars by, and I would like to ask them what brings them out to East El Dorado Street on a beautiful Sunday.
Just to support the cause, really.
And the cause is?
The cause is pro-life. Yeah, respecting all lives and making sure that everybody has a voice, even if they can't speak for themselves.
Stick up for those, pretty much like her, stick up for those that can't speak for themselves. Plus, like, abortion is now, it's really a hot issue now because of all the, all those just terrible things Planned Parenthood are doing. Just people are actually now paying attention to the issue. So I'm just doing what I can to spread it around.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, one of the things, I hear that a lot, one of the things that we're also doing out here that people may not realize is offering our support to women who have either suffered an abortion, contemplating an abortion. We're offering our prayers and counsel to them as well. So thanks for being here today. Are you guys part of the Newman Center?
Yes. Yes.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Dave, you asked me, why am I out here in this life chain event? Life is God's greatest gift. Even the Son of God became one with us in our humanity to lift us up. So we celebrate that gift of life today and ask others to celebrate that gift too.
Dave, I got to tell you, you are absolutely right in your enthusiasm about this. I mean, I'm particularly impressed with the young folks that are there and the fact that they're willing to get up to that microphone and assert themselves and speak their mind. I mean, we're in such a culture now of where people, seem to lay back and let somebody else take the lead. But this is, especially when you said the ones that didn't want to talk or couldn't talk were just shy. Yeah. I mean, nobody said, no, I'm not, I don't want my stand out there.
Yeah, and you know, Mark, this was a beautiful sunny afternoon where these people could have been doing anything other than this. And they gave up an hour to stand there and in a chain and pray. And I think it's wonderful that the parents brought them down.
Yeah.
That they were willing to come, but the parents brought them down.
Exactly.
And are teaching them what it is to stand up for something you believe in.
And what about the ones that were adopted? I mean, that spoke out. Think about this. You know, that could have been an Einstein, a child that's aborted. It could have been the next pope of the church. I mean, we don't know what choices we're making when we make them.
Yeah, and the young man from Russia.
Yeah, that was something.
You know, his mother, I was talking to her, and she said, well, here he comes. He'll have something to say because he was born in Russia where he very easily could have been aborted.
Sure, absolutely.
But was or put in an orphanage, but was lovingly adopted by parents here in the States that
good for them.
You know, that wanted another child. So, and I kind of got a kick out of the guardian angel thing. You know, the gospel I was referring to is where Jesus, it says that anyone who harms one of these little ones, you know, is in big trouble because their angel looks on the face of the Father all the time.
That's right.
And so I thought, well, when do you think God assigns a guardian angel?
From the get-go.
Well, sure. So when does life begin?
From the get-go.
That's right, right at conception. So anyway, I thought it was a great day. I hope we have more of these. There's been a couple protest Planned Parenthood events up on Oakland Street since then that drew 40 or 50 people. But people have to let their politicians know how they feel about this. I know it's difficult in Illinois. You know, both of our national senators are pro-choice, and I don't know how we change that. I guess we pray.
Yeah.
We pray hard that they'll have a conversion and they'll understand that life begins at conception and, you know, we've got to protect the unborn.
Exactly.
All right, Mark, let's take a break here for a second for just a minute, Father, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
This is Father John Burnett, pastor of Saints James and Patrick Parish in the heart of Decatur. And, you know, every day when we wake up, Mark and Dave, we become ever more aware of the challenges that are facing us, our families, and so many people around us, Christians at large and in our nation and the world at large. What are we to do? Are we to do like Philip when presented the problem by Jesus of feeding that hungry crowd on the Galilean hillside and says, we couldn't feed these people even a little bit with 200 days' wages? Or even when Andrew brought the little boy's offering to Jesus, he said, what's the 5 loaves and 2 fishes in such a great crowd? But the boy is the example of the faith. He gave all that he had, and he gave it over to Jesus. And the problem was solved, and abundantly, because they had 12 baskets left over of the food that Jesus had multiplied. What is Jesus asking of you? What can you give over to address the challenges that are faced today? Because when we give our all to Jesus, he makes it more than enough.
All right, we're back here on The Cradle and the Convert, and I picked that music because it kind of sounds like a heartbeat to me. I don't know.
Well, that works.
Yeah. So, Mark, on the for the rest of the show, I just kind of want to touch base a little bit on Matthew Kelly.
Yeah, he just had his big show.
Yeah, what a tremendous guy. You know,
he is.
He always talks about the genius in Catholicism. Right. And I both read the Rediscovering Catholicism. Right. I just finished reading Rediscovering Jesus. But one of my favorite books that he wrote is the one you have over there called The Four Signs of a Dynamic Catholic. And what I really like about it is he points out what it takes for us to be dynamic Catholics. And the four signs of a dynamic Catholic, number one is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Dynamic Catholics have a daily commitment to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is study.
Right.
Dynamic Catholics are continuous learners, as you and I attempt to be. You know, by reading a good book, they say you can tell a lot about a person by asking what are the last three books they read.
Right.
And, you know, if somebody's reading murder mysteries or biographies or whatever, I read a lot of Matthew Kelly stuff. I read some Fulton Sheen stuff.
Yep.
I would guess the last probably 10 books I've read have been on the faith. Once in a while, I'll throw in a James Patterson here or there, you know, for a little murder mystery.
Well, I kind of like Father Michael Gately. Some of his stuff is dynamic. And on top of that, Edward Street. You know, he's a great author.
He is good. Yeah. He is good. The third sign of a dynamic Catholic is generosity.
Mm-hmm.
Dynamic Catholics are generous. And the fourth sign is dynamic Catholics invite others to grow spiritually by sharing the love of God with them. It's evangelization. So those are the four signs: prayer, study, generosity, and evangelization.
And he wrote that book, Dave. I read it 2 or 3 years ago. But he wrote this book basically as a trigger for change among the Catholic Church.
Right, because he talks about, he gives a lot of statistics in the book. And, you know, you can make statistics say what you want them to say. But I find these really to be intriguing. When he talks about, he kind of refers to the 7%.
Right.
It's generally around 7%. 6.4% of registered parishioners contribute 80% of the volunteer hours to a parish. 6.8% of registered parishioners donate 80% of the financial contribution. That's less than 7% give 80% of the money. And there's an 84% overlap in the groups that volunteer their time and give their money.
You know, I when I read this, I brought that up to several pastors, not just here in Decatur, but also, you know, I got Ken down in Greensboro, North Carolina, and speaking with them, they all said they thought it was less than 7.
No kidding.
In their particular parishes. And I didn't, you know, I didn't organize this. I just asked them as I came. I mean, it was hit and miss as I saw a pastor, Catholic pastor. I asked them, what percent do you think give 80%? And a lot of them said, oh, 4, maybe 6.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what, you know, Matthew Kelly's talking about. If we could just bump that number up to 8% or 9%.
Right.
You know, they say that only 20% of Catholics go to church.
Right.
The Pew study that we talked about says that 80% of Catholics still refer to themselves as cultural Catholics.
Now,
that means that, well, they like to call themselves Catholic, but they're kind of the Catholic a la carte. You know, birth control's okay, cohabitation's okay. But it's a very small number. It's down around 10% that really follow the tenets of the church. And that's why I think it's important to listen to Matthew Kelly when he talks about if we could just engage another 1% of our parishioners over the next year and turn them into dynamic Catholics, it'd be a game changer.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, it would result in 15% more volunteer hours. And I don't know how you guys are at Holy Family. We do a lot of different volunteer things at St. James and Pat's. And I know the volunteers at Lord's and St. Thomas out at Our Lady of the Holy Spirit. There's just a lot of volunteer opportunities
that
if we had a few more people, if we could just increase 1%, you know, how many more people we would have available to bring the Word of God to the people. Yeah, you know, it takes a lot of money to run a parish.
Oh, man.
Especially a parish that has a school. because the tuition doesn't even come close to covering what costs to run those schools. Well, Matthew Kelly says if we could transform another 7% into highly engaged parishioners over the next 7 years, that's just 1%
right.
a year. Just about everywhere you go, whether it's your parish or whether it's where you work, if you do a good job, you get picked on a lot to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's
so
true.
Maybe they're afraid. But, you know, Mark, all you have to do is get out of the boat.
Right.
You know, you just get out of the boat and give it a try, and you might be amazed at what happens.
Dave, Father Joe, at his homily this weekend, had an interesting, you know, he's talking about service, and mm-hmm. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And he talked about we are to serve God ourselves. And what kind of tip would God leave us as a server? His analogy was to a table server. He said, what kind of tip would God leave you based
wow,
on your
that
service?
Is interesting.
And let me tell you, that was profound. And it followed up me going to folks and asking them in an announcement at the end of Mass about Eucharistic adoration, coming forth to register to do an hour or more, whatever their schedule allows, one day a month, one day a week, whatever they could do. And I just picked right up on that after he said it. And I said, you know, what kind of tip is God going to leave you?
Yeah.
We're asking for an hour of your time for a man that hung 6 hours in agony on the cross and suffered immensely, tremendously for us so that we would not have eternal death, that we would live in light and joy. And we can't give him an hour
and, you know,
to
people,
sit alone with him.
People need to realize that the fact that we can go sit with him in the Adoration Chapel in front of the Blessed Sacrament is such an honor and blessing. It's it's not a duty or a chore.
That's right.
It's an honor and a blessing. And I'll tell you, every time I've done it, I come out feeling renewed.
Sure you do.
And it just seems like something wonderful happens.
Mm-hmm.
In a short time later.
Exactly.
And it's a good time to pray for our own intentions. But really, I like to concentrate on all my friends and acquaintances that are sick or have asked me to pray for them and laid out their intentions. It's a great time. You just have to get out of the boat.
It also provides you the second step of Kelly's four signs of dynamic Catholic, and that's study. There's a little library, I call it the chapel library, in the back of the chapel there, where there are books that anybody who's in there for adoration says, well, I don't really know what to do. How about you apply yourself in service to God by learning more about your faith? Pick up one of these books for that hour and sit before God and read. And if there's something you don't understand, ask him. He's right there in front of you.
Yeah, you know, I found one back there one day about Eucharistic miracles.
Yes.
Holy.
Oh, yeah, that was neat.
That's awesome.
I've read that.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of ways that we can engage people. I guess the best thing we can do, Mark, is just ask people.
Right.
Just ask people. So many times people have said, well, I never volunteered because
nobody asked me. Yeah.
So if you're listening to the show tonight, you're active in your parish, and you see people at Mass regularly that you don't see doing stuff, maybe it's because nobody's asked them. Maybe all you got to do is ask them, hey, would you like to help pick up the collection? You know, do you feel that there's some kind of calling for you to help at Mass? And it's so easy, and it's just such a wonderful feeling when you get to participate in Mass. You know, we all participate in Mass. Don't get me wrong.
Well, right,
when we're
yeah.
kneeling and praying
right, sure.
and celebrating the Eucharist, we're participating. But, you know, to sing and to...
Well, it goes to the generosity part, too. You know, the three T's, time, treasure, and talent.
Yeah. And, you know, there's other skills people have out there, computer skills
music,
or whatever.
Music, the music that ministry.
Volunteer at your parish. I'm just telling you,
school.
If we could just add 1%. A year for the next 7 years, we could double the participation we have right now, according to Matthew.
You know, we need a game changer. And he says, well, that can be a national event. It could be this, could that. It could be a person. What about Pope Francis? Is he not the biggest game changer we've had?
Oh, man.
I mean, you've got Protestants who love this guy.
Yep.
And want to hear what he has to say and follow the news on where he is and what he's doing now. He's a game changer. This is a perfect time.
Well, you know, if you're going to read a book, if you're going to do a little study, and Matthew Kelly, I highly recommend him. The Rediscovering Catholicism book really lit my fire.
Oh, and it did mine because you gave it to me when you were done with it.
Yeah, and that's been probably 5-6 years ago.
Oh, more than that.
And, I mean, just that book alone set me on fire for the faith, and that's why I'm here today.
Yep.
You know? That's why I'm here doing this little bit of evangelization to those of you out there listening to us.
Well, it's certainly not talent, so it must be time that we're donating here.
All right. You know, in the gospel, Jesus talks about the harvest is bountiful, but the workers are few. we need more workers. We just talked about Matthew Kelly saying only 7% of us are actively involved in our parishes, and we need to bump that number up.
Indeed.
We need to bump that number up to 14%, or gosh, even if it was 10%.
Yeah, that'd be
amazing. The great work we could do. And Mark, let's pray a Hail Mary as we close the show this evening.
Okay.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, folks, we hope you've enjoyed listening. Mark and I just kind of shoot the bull tonight. We hope you learned a little bit about transforming the world one person at a time as a dynamic Catholic. We'll be back next week. We'll see you.
Good night, y'all.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of WDCR, Decatur Catholic Radio.